What's up, everyone? This is the one and only Nick Andre. And look, if you're a fan of everything that I do, whether it's writing, podcasting, or anything basketball content related, make sure to subscribe to my playback room. I will be live every Friday live streaming an NBA game. So I will be talking everything about the game itself alongside various topics revolving around basketball. So make sure to tune in, man. Make sure to subscribe. I will leave the link in the description. And let's get into the episode. Another edition of For the Love of the Game. This is your one and only Nick Andre. I'm glad to have you guys tune in with me. First and foremost, man, Happy New Year to everybody listening. 2024 is finally here. It was a great 2023. Actually, a pretty quick one, if you ask me. You know, it's kind of blew by fast, but as I reflect back, a lot definitely went down, man. And, you know, I hope that this new year delivers nothing but greatness to everybody. It feels very, very refreshing that it started on a Monday. I don't know why, you know, I think, you know, this is starting on the first day of the new week, you know, just, you know, it's a good way to just regroup and just restart everything, man. But hope everybody was safe on New Year's Eve as they celebrated. And, you know, just hopefully, like I say, you know, hopefully this year can bring a lot of greatness to everybody. But we here, man, season two, we here, man. And, you know, we got to start it off on a good note, man. We're going to talk about some women's basketball. But without further ado, let's get into it, man. First topic, Jelani Cambridge, five-star recruit out of Montverde Academy, just announced where she will play at college. Now, there was multiple offers on the table. There was LSU. There was University of Florida and a few other teams. But she made the decision to play for the Ohio State Buckeyes and play for head coach Kevin McGuff and his coaching staff. There's a lot to take into the reason why she chose Ohio State. Obviously, her sister Kennedy's is on the roster for them after transferring from Kentucky last year, I believe. But I think Ohio State has always been a great program, especially for developing guards. And I think that Jelani could be just another guard that, you know, could bring a lot to the table. I mean, if you've been able to see her play, at least, you know, I was able to go back and watch her over the weekend, and she's such a dynamic guard, you know, just being able to produce in a multitude of ways. You know, she's a great passer. She can lead teammates to open spots. She's a great shot creator as well, you know, being able to get to her spots in the mid-range. And if you know me, if anybody knows me, you know, once you can score around the mid-range area, you automatically have my heart. So, you know, to be able to see Jelani be able to do that at a high level was really, really impressive to me, but also being able to knock down the three ball. And then, of course, finding openings to get to the basket. So she has the full package. And I didn't even mention what she provides defensively, you know, being able to be active with her hands and getting to the passing lanes, which does lead to transition baskets. But, you know, her resume pretty much speaks for itself. You know, she played 3-4 years, I believe, at Ensworth in Nashville before transferring to Montverde, which I think it was a good decision, especially as she's continuing to elevate herself. But like I said, her resume speaks for itself. You know, she's a two-time Geico national champ. This season she's averaging 20 points, over six and a half rebounds, 9 assists and 3 steals, you know, as a senior right now for Montverde. So it's just really, really incredible just, you know, to see how she continues to elevate her game. And I think what she brings to Ohio State is, I think what it is she has a lot of tangibles of a leader. And one thing I'll say, as far as me going back, watching her play was, you know, I love how she could set the tone for a team, not only on the court, but off the court as well. I think she's very vocal as well. You know, I saw a lot of times where she would bring teammates together, you know, give them some guidance and everything. So I think as her college career progresses, we're going to be able to see that. And I think that's really, really good, you know, for this Ohio State team. And plus, you know, look at the program as a whole. This is a really, really great team. I mean, you know, one of my favorite players on the team, Cody McMahon, is continuing to take her stride. And I think those two together, come next year, is going to be damaged in the Big Ten. So I'm excited for this for Jelani. I know that there was some people that wanted her to go to LSU, but I think in the end, Ohio State was the best decision. So I'm excited for it. Congrats to her. And I just want to see, you know, what's next for her moving forward. Let's switch gears for a second, because we have to talk about one of the more highly anticipated games in college basketball and throughout this weekend, which was a Pac-12 showdown between UCLA and USC. And when I tell y'all how excited I was for this game, like it was just insane. But let me first add something that I didn't like. I didn't like that this game was not nationally televised. And this is a game that I had circled for like the last like maybe 3 to 4 weeks, and I was super excited about it. Even leading up to last week, I was super excited about the game. And then Saturday afternoon, I find out it's only on Pac-12 Network. And I was like, bro, what the fuck? So unfortunately, I didn't watch the game live. So I didn't get a chance to actually experience what the game was like live. But luckily, I was able to download it on my laptop, and I was able to go watch it back New Year's Eve night heading into New Year's Day. So I was up pretty much all night watching this game, or not all night. You know, the game wasn't that long, but I was up for most of the night watching the game, and that was how I spent my New Year's. But this game was nothing short of spectacular. From start to finish, it was a battle. There's so much on the line here when you talk about these two teams. You know, obviously these two teams being from LA, I mean, it's not even just a conference, but being just from the same city, you know, that definitely adds to the rivalry as well. And then, of course, you got some high caliber players, Juju Walkins for USC, and then, of course, Kiki Rice and Laura Betts for UCLA. But, and you know what's so funny about UCLA is because Kiki Rice and Lauren Betts, they've had spectacular seasons. Like, you know, you can't deny what they've been able to bring to the table. But, and I'll say this, I haven't watched a lot of UCLA games, but anytime that I do, it's like those two, it's like when it comes to UCLA, those two, Kiki Rice and Lauren Betts, they don't necessarily stand out to me for some reason. And it's not that they have bad games, and you know what I'm saying? They definitely lead the way. But I think what it is it's the contribution of others that may not get the shine. Like London Jones put up 21 points in this game, shot 5 of 8 from 3. And I have to talk about Charisma Osborne and the defense that she played on Juju Walkins. Like, it was incredible, especially in the first quarter. Her ball denial was really, really good, not allowing Juju to get touches with the basketball. And it really took USC out of the offense, you know, especially early in that game. And it was weird to me because she was playing such great defense on Juju early in that first quarter, you know, getting into passing lanes, her ball denial, being able to force turnovers. But one thing I realized, like, I think towards the end, like towards late in the first quarter was UCLA made a sub. And for some reason, when they made that sub, Charisma was not guarding Juju anymore. And I was like, okay, well, this is interesting. And then with that being said, you know, we saw Juju start to come alive, you know, especially in that second quarter where UCLA took the lead. But one thing that I loved from Juju was her ability to just stay aggressive. And her staying aggressive, you know, especially being able to get to the basket, it resulted in free throw attempts, absorbing contact, drawing fouls, and then, of course, getting easy baskets. And that was pretty much how UCLA got into the game, was Juju just being able to set the tone. And that's what separates great players, man, you know, not getting intimidated, because I know a lot of teams, they get intimidated by the physicality of UCLA and how they play defensively. But give credit to Juju for just, you know, staying poised and just, you know, still looking to be aggressive in that game. She had like 18 in the first half. She finished with 27 points overall. One thing that I will say, and I think this is part of the reason why UCLA ended up getting the win, was we saw how aggressive Juju was in that second quarter. And I feel like she kind of shied away from that aggressiveness as far as getting to the basket. You know, we saw a lot of ill-advised shots. Like, I saw several of them in the third quarter, and I was just telling myself, like, yo, why is she not attacking the basket like she did in the second quarter? Because obviously attacking the basket has worked for both her and UCLA. But, you know, I think that was kind of one of the biggest factors. And also, luckily, she's okay, because she ended up going down late in the fourth quarter. And it did look like I'm not going to say it looked like a severe injury, but it looked like something that, you know, definitely was bothering her. So I'm definitely glad that she was okay. But you got to give credit to UCLA. You know, defensively, they were great all night. And then, of course, offensively, the ball movement was just spectacular. Another thing that I saw as well was I love the matchup between Rhea Marshall and Lauren Betts. And I thought that was really, really fun to watch. Obviously, two bigs. You know, obviously, Lauren Betts is a matchup nightmare. But I think you got to give credit to Rhea Marshall for how she played her defensively. Obviously, she didn't stop her completely, but there were several possessions where Rhea Marshall was fighting through that physicality of guarding Lauren Betts in the post, and was able to keep her ground and still be able to contest shots. So that's one thing that I will give to Rhea Marshall as well. And then, of course, you know, having to score over her offensively was not the easiest task, but she was able to, you know, on a few possessions. So Rhea Marshall, I know that she didn't shoot the ball particularly well in this matchup, but I love what she did defensively in the matchup against Lauren Betts, even though Lauren still ended up with 15 points. I think she had 8 rebounds and then 6 blocks, I believe. So didn't necessarily take Lauren off of her game, but, you know, Rhea Marshall did have some good defensive moments in that game as well. Mackenzie Forbes was just also phenomenal as well. Her offensive bag is just something that's just fun to watch. You know, being able to watch her get to response in the mid-range. There was a play where she forced Lauren Betts to step outside the three-point line and then just drain the three right in her face. So I'll be real. I mean, she had 24 points on the night. And I'm going to say, I mean, even though Juju did shine, she was the shining star for USC in this matchup. But I don't think USC would be where they were in that game without the contribution of Mackenzie Forbes, who's been playing well all year, man. But overall, this was a fun matchup. Obviously, UCLA, they were the better team. They got the win in the 71-64 contest. But, I mean, give credit, man. This was a fun game. You know, this one went down to the wire. You know, it was really a game of runs where both teams had momentum. But at the end of the day, the better team prevailed, man. So, you know, congrats to UCLA on getting that win, man. You know, it was a fun showdown. And it's just an indication that the Pac-12 is just super, super dominant, man. You know, maybe not the best conference to many men, but they're definitely up there as one of the best, man. So once again, congrats to UCLA on that dub. Switching gears once again, I want to talk about a team that I've been personally impressed with. I've been able to watch this team up close for probably about the last 2 weeks now, and I love their improvements on the season, and I love their dynamic of players that they have, and that's the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in the ACC. They're currently 9-4 on the season, and they're already on pace to surpass their last season record, which was 13-17, which is crazy because last year they actually got off to a decent start. I want to say they started out like 2-1 or 3-1, something like that. But, you know, things happened. And then, of course, unfortunately, they lost that momentum and was one of the bottom teams in the ACC. But this is a totally different story. This is a totally different team from what took place last year. They're top 10 in defense. They're third in assists in the conference. And I know that they may have lost to teams like Creighton, and I know that they lost to Florida State as well in their conference opener. But I love the improvements that this team is making. One of the players that stands out to me is Tony Morgan, and she is one of the ones that makes this team go. And her ability to be able to find high percentage shots at the basket is just really, really incredible. You know, she'll find those little gaps, she'll find those little openings. And then on top of that, she has tremendous size. So, you know, a lot of defenders can't really contain her from getting to the basket. And I love what she's able to bring to the table. Another player as well, Karen Dunn, can be a sniper from the perimeter. She can play in the post. She can knock down mid-range shots. She really just scores in like one motion. And her production, whether it's coming off the bench or being in the starting lineup, is really, really lethal for Georgia Tech. There was a game where she scored 39 points against Georgia State, and she was lights out from the perimeter. I want to say she shot like 4 or 5 from three in that contest. So, you know, when she catches fire, you know, there's no stopping. And on top of that, it makes Georgia Tech a totally different team, you know, when she is on fire. Another player, Kayla Blackshear, is a terrific post player as well. You know, with her size and her footwork, you know, being able to score inside is just incredible. And then there's other ones as well. I don't want to get these players' name wrong. You know, I've been trying to pronounce these players' names correctly, so if I get it wrong, please excuse me. I'm already messing it up. Racine Agusin, I can't even pronounce it, but anybody know who I'm talking about? You know, she's a terrific all-around scorer as well. I love the fact that she, you know, can score at all three levels as well. You know, she's a sniper from three, and that's the thing too, especially when you're playing with a player like Tony Morgan, who can attract a wall and can attract double teams. So, you know, you can be able to spot up in the corner, spot up in the wing, knock down shots, but then also being able to put the ball on the floor and knock down shots, whether it's in the mid-range to get to the basket, you know, that's really, really big for them as well. So Georgia Tech has an abundance of great players, and they have great depth as well. And, you know, I think that's a team that people need to keep their eye on. I don't know where they may be placed in the ACC as far as, like, top contenders, because obviously, you know, you still got other teams out there as well who are doing damage, but just watching their improvement throughout this season has been really, really incredible, man. And you know, that's a team that people should definitely keep their eye on as the season progresses. I know that they lost their first ACC matchup against Florida State, but I think that they could bounce back as, you know, as the season goes on. All right, and before we get out of here, let's highlight some of the notable games that took place, whether it was last week or this past weekend, because there's a lot of great matchups, especially as conference play is coming into play. Another Pac-12 showdown, Colorado beat Utah 76-65. Shout out to Jalen Sherrod, man. She just continues to show herself as one of the top players in the country. She had 34 points and six steals, but then also you credit to Elisa Peely, had 27 and 10. So it was a dominant matchup from start to finish, but obviously Colorado, I think what really led them to the win was, you know, them being able to hang their hat on defense, and that's the reason why they came out on top. Another game, Michigan beat Ohio State 69-60. Shout out to Layla Pelia with 26 points and four rebounds. UConn was able to beat Marquette 95-64. Paige dominated, or I wouldn't say dominated, but she had a really, really great game with 25 points and five assists. And shout out to Aaliyah Edwards as well, who had 19 points and 12 rebounds. Syracuse beat Notre Dame. That was actually a surprise to me because I didn't expect Syracuse to actually win. I actually had Notre Dame in that matchup, but they were able to win by 586-81. Hannah Hidalgo had 32 points, six assists, and seven steals. But give credit to Daisha Fair, who had 27 points and six steals. She's another underrated player in the ACC that people need to keep their eye on as well. So keep your eye on Daisha Fair as conference play unfolds. And then South Carolina, once again, they show us why they're the best team in the country. They beat East Carolina 73-36. Carmelo Cardoso, another double-double with 12 points and 10 rebounds. And then Malaysia Fo Wiley had 12 points and nine rebounds. So it was a great weekend overall for women's basketball. And I don't think people realize how excited I've been for conference play. I mean, non-conference play has always been cool, but like once you finally get a chance to match up with those same teams that's in your conference, and especially the both of y'all playing at the highest level, like that's just a great brand of basketball right there. I mean, we saw it with USC and UCLA. We saw it with Colorado and Utah, and it's only going to get better as time unfolds, man. So I cannot wait, man, and I'm going to continue to tap in and give people updates, man, and, you know, just stay in tune, man. Just make sure to stay in tune, man. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Appreciate you guys for listening, man. Make sure to follow the show on X at Love with TG B-Ball. Follow myself and Nick Audrey ATR. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe on any platform that you use, Apple, Spotify, you name it, man. Like I said, two episodes a week, possibly three, you know, depending on the time frame may look for me, but make sure to tune in, man. A lot of things coming in, man, in 2024. And until next time, you guys, deuces.